Hey everyone, it's Jamie from Let the Chaos Begin, and tonight, Rich and I, we have a special edition of the podcast. We actually talk about the early days of the company, but we base it around an old episode of Chaotic Wrestling Television. Now, you don't have to go back and actually watch the episode to enjoy tonight's podcast, but if you do want to kind of watch along with us, head over to newageinsiders.com and hit the Let the Chaos Begin tab, or go to forthepops.com and you can see the original episode of Chaotic Wrestling Television. So enjoy tonight's episode.
Good evening, Lowell, Massachusetts.
And now, presenting a joint production of For the Pops and the NAI Network.
The following contest is scheduled for one fall.
A verbal history of chaotic wrestling by the two men who were there from the beginning. Hall of Fame ring announcer and commentator, Rich Palladino.
He is the current, reigning, and defending Chaotic Wrestling Heavyweight Champion.
Former owner of Chaotic Wrestling for nearly two decades, Jamie Jamikowski.
No blood, no cursing, stay off the barriers.
It's time to
let the chaos begin
on the NAI Pop Network.
Welcome to Let the Chaos Begin, Rich Palladino and Jamie Jamikowski. Jamie, how you doing? We're not on Skype. We are doing it live once again.
I'm so happy we're together again, Rich. We're on a pretty good run lately of seeing each other. We're getting great reviews on the podcast. This is fun. We get to play reminisce and play catch up.
I love playing catch up, and I love when we actually get to do this remotely from Mi Casa instead
yes.
of Su Casa or the NAI Pop Network Studios. But we are back here in the Shrine, which I'm yep. seriously thinking after when we did that final chapter yep. of the Chaotic Training Center. And that was the first time we had done one live from here. I've really been given a lot of thought over the past couple of weeks about maybe charging admission and seeing if I can make some money out of this bitch. You know what I'm saying?
This is great stuff, Rich. Like I said, today I'm fortunate enough. I'm seated over in the bobblehead section. I've moved since the last time we recorded.
And it's the bobblehead of all my favorite stuff. So you got Tom Brady.
Okay.
You got Gene Simmons from Kiss.
Yeah.
Gene Simmons actually has a intercontinental title belt around one of his arms.
Yeah.
Got Andre the Giant. We got Little Road Warrior bobbleheads.
Yeah.
We got Alan from The Hangover, my favorite movie on the far right.
Oh my
and
God.
If there were batteries in there, it sings the three best friends that. And right in the middle, though, that is a special, special treat right there. That is from this past July. They had a WWE night at Fenway Park.
Yeah.
Our good friend Kofi Kingston threw out the first pitch. I could not make it to the game. And I'll give a shout out to independent wrestling manager Chad Epic. Called in a favor. I wanted that bobblehead. I could not get to the game, and Chad got it done and presented that to me at a recent event that I actually did at Fenway Park. So, the Dustin Pedroia WWE Night bobblehead, smack dab in the middle of Tom Brady and Gene Simmons. But Jamie, I've unveiled.
This is amazing.
Despite the fact that my wife's sewing machine and my wife's an amazing seamstress, and little known fact that when I worked for ECW, we would typically do 2 to 3 shows on a weekend.
Yep.
One weekend, Joel Gertner ripped his pants and was
okay.
devastated. It was after the Friday night show, and he's like, I don't know how I'm going to get these fixed before we go to Revere on Saturday night. I said, give them to me. My wife's an amazing seamstress. My wife seamed Joel Gertner's pants,
wow.
the quintessential stud muffins pants, right there on that Singer sewing
every
machine.
Corner of this room, even the sewing machine, is a little bit of wrestling history.
Yes, but what I unveiled to you
it's
on
amazing.
Your second trip here to the Shrine is this tiny little, I don't know, what is that, a 13-inch color?
Like old-school TV.
Old-school TV that's connected to a VCR/DVD recorder.
Oh, I don't like where this is going.
And I thought, wouldn't it be great if we just hovered ourselves around this tiny little TV?
Okay, we're getting intimate. All right.
All right. So I gave you the good chair.
I appreciate that.
Okay. I'm sitting on a folding chair. I
yep.
gave you the good desk chair. And we thought, wouldn't this be fun if we just pop in an old episode of Chaotic Wrestling's Friday
okay.
Night
All
Chaos?
Right. I'm on board.
All right. So you put it upon me to pick an episode.
Yep. All
and
right.
actually, there's a segment on this one that you and I referenced maybe in a prior
yep.
edition of Let the Chaos Begin. So what we're going to do, folks, we're going to take you back to the Knights of Columbus Hall. I should say in audio form. We're going to take you back to the Knights of Columbus Hall in Methuen, Massachusetts. That was a KFC, right?
Yep.
Okay. June the 23rd, 2001. And I'll tell you, big shout out to Tomo.
Yeah.
Tomo Guerra, who lives in LA now. We were live in Methuen on June 23rd. This aired the following Friday, June the 29th.
Wow.
2001. And we were not on WHLL, El Mundo, Wooster, Boston.
By now?
We're on WNDS. We're on the Winds.
The Winds.
Yes, the Winds of New England.
So we're going to start this. We'll comment. We might have to stop it here and there. Rich, what I'm hoping we'll do is we'll actually get a copy of this. We'll throw it up on YouTube with some links.
Sure.
So if people want to listen to us, now I want to tell everybody, you don't have to be watching this at the same time you're listening. I'm going to try to use this to maybe springboard my memory because I haven't seen this in literally 17 plus years.
Because we should mention that in addition to my ridiculous wrestling collection, I have been recording pro wrestling on TV for years. And of course, I have the entire run of, at this point, this was Friday Night Chaos.
I'm so excited for this. This should be amazing.
So
I'm already getting up out of my seat because I'm getting so excited.
See if I can get the technology here. I'm going to push play.
Press play.
And let's see what we got here.
All right.
We got to, what we want to do is go to the beginning of the episode.
It's very exciting.
We're going to play it from the start.
Thank God for an edit button.
June 29th. There it is. Paid advertisement does not necessarily reflect the views.
Well, that's the first thing we should point out, Rich, is actually, you know, when we talk about that we were on TV back then, remember, we were buying 30-second blocks of time, and I don't remember what we
30,
paid for.
30-minute.
I'm sorry, 30-minute. I apologize. Yeah. We were buying 30-minute blocks of time. So it wasn't like we had TV stations coming to us like, oh, we want to carry wrestling. No, we had to pay to even be on these stupid things. And it was significant. I want to say, I can probably find the prices somewhere, but it was like a couple of $100 an episode just to air this, plus, you know, having Tomo edit it. So it's not like this was, you know, we use this as a tool. I think we talked about this before that, oh, we're on TV, you'll get more exposure. Yeah, you're on paid TV at 1 a.m. on a New Hampshire regional station. But again, it was still one thing that nobody else had at that point in time.
So I'm going to go back and hit play. And
very excited.
This is, we got, well, there's me.
Rich Paladino welcoming everybody to the chaos.
Do we actually, is anybody actually
going to
be able to hear this?
No, nobody will be able to hear this. So we're just going to kind of watch.
So there I am in front of, first of all, and there's Milo. I'm wearing the red bow tie. I'm in front of that awful orange.
Okay, pause it right here, Rich. We're not even 3 seconds in. Because you got to understand, if you look at it, what we did was we started the stand-up, and it was an old TV thing, of you and your co-commentator at the time, Milo Master, one of the owners of Chaotic Wrestling.
Yes.
You would do this little stand-up to send us to kind of preview the show.
Yeah.
But our backdrop, it's construction netting.
Yes.
And you remember we used to bring rolls of that crap everywhere we went.
Yes, we did.
With our black fabric, slap the Chaotic Wrestling logos on it, which are horrible white posters, and then run the construction barrier stuff
in front of it. So we could obstruct the logo of the name of the company in the show.
It's orange construction netting is what you guys are standing in front of. And in terms of you and Milo, you were our experienced ring announcer, and Milo was?
Milo.
Yes.
Milo was Milo. And I love Milo. So what we've got here is I'm welcoming everybody. And normally me and Milo and I would be opening the show together. And I'm bewildered. Where's Milo? And then Milo walks in with this sequined blue blazer. And in the back, it says, Got Milo.
In glitter.
Gold glitter.
Yeah, and on the two lapels, the lapels are glittery with MM, one on each one.
And he's got a Chaotic Wrestling hat. Now, here's the
entrance. But hold on, Rich. I got to tell you, though.
Please.
I got to tell you, though. Milo's outfit that he's wearing, we thought this was cool. We were trying to rip off Bobby Heenan on this.
Yeah.
So what we did was at my old place of business, we found one weekend. I forget what the hell we were doing. But we found a rack of my father's old sport coats. So that was actually one of my father's sport coats that we found that we then took. And it was like baby blue. And we figured, okay, we're going to be like Bobby Heenan. Bobby Heenan always had those awesome sequined sport coats.
Yep.
So what we did was we got like fabric glue and glitter, and we made Milo these horrible tacky versions of this. And that actually brings up too, Rich, is I'm not sure a lot of people realize this, but like, we used to do a lot of stuff ourselves. It actually reminds me of the old ECW, like the original Arch Kincaid tie-dyed T-shirts. Mm-hmm. We used to buy Arch Kincaid T-shirts in white. Then what we would do is we would sit there one night, and Milo, Ben, and I would spend 3 hours tie-dyeing T-shirts so that we could sell them, or Let the Chaos Begin with the other ones.
Grassroots. This is grassroots.
So this is Milo's. God, that jacket's horrible. We are 30 seconds in. I'm already horribly embarrassed.
So he's wearing a Chaotic Wrestling baseball hat that I never had. More on that later.
I'll send you one.
But now we go to the opening montage. We get Short Sleeve Samson and the One Night Stand against each other. Gino Martino against the late John Cronus. There's Arch and April Kincaid. How about Short Sleeve Samson and the Golden Buddha? I just saw Louis Ortiz. There's Ricky Steamboat when we had him as a referee. We have a bloody Ali Muhammad, Spike Dudley and Kyle Storm, former tag team champions. And here it is, Friday Night Chaos.
And again, Rich, look what we did even there. You know, we put Spike Dudley, Ricky Steamboat, Cronus, even though you can't really see him, in our opening to, again, solidify, oh, look, we have people and faces you recognize for the casual wrestling fan that might be tuned in. The one that really gets me now, though, is, for obvious reasons, the bloody Ali Muhammad.
Yes.
You know, especially where the famous Chaotic Rules with Jamie are no blood, no cursing.
Yep.
Looks like back then we were clearly embracing blood.
We certainly were. I mean, we had a four-way hardcore match in Worcester that could be another episode in itself. So we're going to go right to the opening contest. There I am with the introductions of our first combatant, New England Pro Wrestling Hall of Famer El Mascarado. From Cidre, Puerto Rico. We need a little volume.
No, pause it, Rich.
Oh, I thought you wanted to pause it because
that's my signal for pause.
That's Suavemente, though.
I love Suavemente. Okay. Tell people, who was El Mascarado?
El Mascarado, Bert Centeno, longtime journeyman wrestler, originally from Puerto Rico, then and currently resides in the Worcester area. Trained a handful of wrestlers in his time. Adopted this El Mascarado character with the mask, and you see the sequin robe with the flag of Puerto Rico. El Mascarado. Bert Centeno. And I should add, wrestled for WWF for years as enhancement talent.
Okay, that's right. Okay.
Yeah.
You
were legitimately asked me. I thought
No, I was actually, because I vaguely remember. Like, he was viewed as like the veteran guy we had brought in.
He certainly was.
El Mascarado.
He had wrestled on WWF TV for years. Think a la Mario Mancini, Duke of Dorchester, Pete Doherty.
Okay.
He was enhancement talent for years. He was always a good hand that, not just in New England. They used him all over the place. Like when Coach Hollow was talking about the time he dropped superstar Billy Graham in California. Bert Centeno was one of those guys, too, that would compete, not just when they came to Lowell or Manchester or Boston.
After the match, before we go to break, I remember a follow-up story to this.
Now, you know what I just noticed, too, as Mascarado's coming to the ring, we used to hand the fans, we used to have them at the front door, those signs that said,
awesome.
You rock on one side and you suck on the other.
And we used to print those at my old office. I still love those. We should bring those back, Rich.
Look at the wood paneling.
I can actually recognize some of the fans.
Oh my God, look at the ref.
Do you see who the ref is, Rich? I wasn't gonna say anything.
Skunk O'Malley.
Oh Lord. Skunk O'Malley's our ref in this match. And you want to talk about somebody who was an interesting fella. Skunk O'Malley's definitely the one. The other thing I love about this, Rich, is how like we have a random fan just almost sitting in front of the curtain. Just Lord, this is awful.
And there's Arch and April Kincaid. April Hunter, former WCW talent. She was one of Scott Steiner's, what did he call his girls?
I forget, in WCW, but it was like her, Medasia, and all of them.
Yes.
But, it's funny. I'm glad we finally get to talk. We talk a lot about Arch Kincaid, but a lot of people have forgotten about him. Arch Kincaid progressed over his career with Chaotic Wrestling. When you see him here, this is when we were doing, it was actually going to be like a modified brother-sister incest gimmick is the road we were going down.
And we're going to get into that in the segment after.
Oh, was that in
match.
The segment after?
And you know what, in all honesty, just in the fairness of time. Now, I don't want to deviate here, but we can have this playing.
Sure.
Arch is the Chaotic Wrestling light heavyweight champion at the time, which I believe was 235 pounds and under at that point.
Sure.
And he's defending the title against El Mascarado. And, of course, you were saying he and April. We were going for this incestual
right.
Brother-sister kind of thing, which we're going to see in a segment coming up next after this, at home with Arch and April Kincaid.
Yeah, but you know, when I saw April come out, I remember when we were kind of talking about this right before we started, and a clip of it came up. I still can't believe how great April Hunter looked. I think that is one of the biggest mistakes we made back in the early days, and we talked about this on a previous episode, that it happened before the Kowalski thing. The Kowalski thing solidified it when we split off from Kowalski, and April and Slick Wagner Brown stayed with Kowalski and ran his school. But this was a Randy Miller thing that I forget what they did, but April and Wagner tried to negotiate something with us, and we let them walk. I think letting April Hunter go early was one of our biggest early mistakes.
Because she was a social media. She was like
an internet. Like, it wasn't even social media yet.
Yeah, she was, but she was very much in tune with utilizing social media for advertising, marketing, whatnot.
She was also, look, April Hunter was also in Playboy. She has a lot of adult content out there. That was her background, too. Mm-hmm. So let's not minimize that, but she looked like $1 million. But before there was social media, she did a great job of manipulating the internet and getting traffic moving, and we cut her loose. I still think that was true, because when she came out, the first thing I remember, I'm like, oh, my God, I forgot how hot April Hunter was. And if you see her now, if you and I have both spoken to April recently, she still looks like $1 million. She hasn't aged a day in 17 years.
And I remember not this past April, but April of 2017, I ran into April Hunter at WrestleCon. We did an interview together, which is available on Title Match Wrestling. She's doing a lot of Comic Cons and things now, dressing up as Wonder Woman and other characters.
The cosplay.
Yeah. And I did not see her this year at WrestleCon, but I saw her last year. And I remember I texted you and I'm like, oh my God, April is here. And you were like, please make sure she has my number. Tell her to get in touch with me, which was great because it was like getting the old band back together. And she hasn't changed a bit. And since then, you had tagged a bunch of us after a Chaotic Show in Revere.
Sure, yeah.
And it was like right after that, and I'm like, oh my God, I'm not connected with April on Facebook. And boom, we immediately connected. She sent me a message like, how were we not connected before?
When I was doing a lot of the social media for Chaotic, and we would feature with the old Woman Crush Wednesday, that stuff. I remember I featured April, and that was where April and I reached out and we reconnected. But no, like I said, huge mistake of us letting her go. I think what else is funny during this time period is, this is during that first Kowalski. It was actually, I think I told the story. We're going to show the vignette later of Arch and April at the Kincaid compound. That was the day we signed the original Kowalski deal that we talked about, the one that led to me going to a show and getting thrown out, going to a school, excuse me, and getting thrown out. So this is very early on in that. Arch and April were two of the first Chaotic people we brought in. I think what's amazing is Arch Kincaid, who was an amazing talker on the mic, one of the best we've ever had. But look at how different and how young he is.
Oh, yeah.
Here.
Oh, yeah. And I dare say I first met Arch Kincaid in Salisbury Beach at a wrestling Star Wars show that was promoted by my good friend and fellow New England Pro Wrestling Hall of Famer Knuckles Nelson. That was the first time I'd actually met Arch, and he and I hit it off immediately, and I loved his gift of gab, and I think we did commentary together for a match, and I said, do you have a nickname? And he said, I don't. And then I heard him talk, and I said, after that,
Arch,
I said,
Rich, pause us and go back 10 seconds, because I've got to describe what Arch did. So he's knocked down
El Mascarado.
El Mascarado. El Mascarado's in the corner right there.
So April's choking Mascarado on the ropes.
And the funny part is, I think if you look, I think April's actually bigger than Arch at this point.
Yeah.
She's tall and has more size than Arch. I mean that in a good way.
Yes.
So Arch is a great talker, not the best ring technician. But this is my favorite thing. Arch has a somersault from the far corner.
Into a lateral press.
Into it, but jumped. Not even a lateral press. The guy, Mascarado's still on the ground. What in the hell was Arch doing?
So
he somersaulted into a pin.
So you said if we do this again, we can actually record ourselves doing this.
I don't understand what's happening right now,
so
Rich.
So I'm going to look at it again. He's dragging Mascarado, placing. He knows what he wants to do.
Yeah.
Forward roll, kind of.
He does a somersault into a pin.
It was almost
awful.
Yeah.
I mean, at this time period, Arch Kincaid makes Mark Sherman look like Bret Hart. Okay, in terms of wrestling ability.
Oh my.
But actually, I will say, for those of you who are kind of more modern fans and listen to the podcast, If you want to get a good idea of who Arch Kincaid was, Mark Sherman isn't a bad comparison. Both incredibly charismatic, both incredibly good on the microphone, neither admittedly fantastic in the ring, and I don't mean that as an insult. They were both, you know, I'll talk about Arch now. Arch is a decent worker. He was trained. He was safe. But really, his strength as a wrestler, as a professional entertainer, was on the mic and as a character, not so much his in-ring ability. And I think that that's actually a great comparison to Mark Sherman.
Now, as I'm watching the match here, I see aforementioned "You Rock, You Suck" signs being held up. A very decent-sized crowd, by the way. And now about three "You Suck" signs go up. And the Arch always did that, would just drape his leg on the top rope. And one, he's got red knee pads with like yellow leg warmers or high
he's
socks.
He's wore leg warmers. I forgot about
this. And purple,
this.
Too. And he would put his leg up on the top rope, and that was his way of like flipping off a fan.
Right.
Essentially. He's got Mascara in the corner. He chops him in the chest. And we're not going to do commentary
Rich,
over the
Rich,
thing.
We talked about nicknames that came out of Chaotic. Yes. I can actually see in one of the corners. I recognize somebody. It's SLSG.
SLSG.
Smells like S guy. Because the guy had a horrible aroma. So his nickname was SLSG.
Unbelievable. Good. And who's doing the handheld camera? Is that Lauren?
No, that's probably, it's either Lauren or Brian or Matt, one of the three.
Okay.
But this, no, this was, and again, I think we can talk about that where we're not doing commentary. Yeah. The other big addition we had during this time period, it was Tom O'Gara and the Emerson crew. Mm-hmm. We needed, and I think it was Milo who actually found everybody. Whether he put out an ad or I forget what he did, but we got a crew of Emerson students. And Emerson's a huge, it's a huge college in Boston. And they do focus a lot on entertainment production. And that's where Milo got us. Ethan Gilson, who Ethan was like, he used to do lighting and rigging.
He wants to be on the show.
Right, I know. But he was the one who like helped us set up rings and do lights. Yeah. And I think Ethan was the one who brought us, when we first started this match, all the lights at the entryway.
Ethan was the guy that, when we had to hang a belt for a ladder match.
Correct.
He would always be the lead on that and make sure that it was done and done properly.
And then we have Tom O'Gara, who kind of took over production. Tom's one of my dearest friends. He actually works on the Big Brother show out in LA now.
Yes.
But Tom, and then he brought on Lauren, Matt, and Brian, who are our three cameramen. So that's, and then the best addition they all brought was
Mary.
Soundbrod.
So, and she got that name because
Duke Stalton.
Duke Stalton, who was dancing Duke Stalton at the time, would come out to Dancing Queen by ABBA. Of course he did. And I think she had not hit the music in time or not correctly. And Arch's.
No. What the story on that is, Rich. No. He came out. He told her to cut the music so he could say something. She did. She potted the music down. When he turned around, it was actually Milo reached over and pushed the volume back up so the music started up again and cut him off. And he started screaming at Soundbrod. He started screaming at Mary. Mary hadn't done anything. I thought Mary was going to cry, but he called her Soundbrod. And that's again,
how she became Soundbrod.
As we watch this, as terrible as this production is,
yes,
in 2018 standards, you have to understand, having Tom, Mary, Ethan, Brian, Matt, and Lauren on board, we were producing better TV than any other indie out there in 2001. And they took us from this horrible, looking like we put a show together in our basement, to actually having a professional multi-camera shoot with edits and all the stuff that goes into it.
Viewable. And the difference between us and every other independent promotion that was on, quote, television, we were on actual television, not public access.
Correct. You know. And it's something as simple, Rich, is, and you know this, like Tom O and his crew, what they brought to the table was, like, we were a rare place that our microphones were plugged in and were going to the camera. Mm-hmm. You know, so you and Milo, as you're announcing, it sounds right because it's feeding into the camera, so everything looks and sounds together. I can't say enough about what a huge difference Tom O'Gara and that Emerson crew made to the growth of Chaotic Wrestling.
Absolutely, and great friends, great people. And as we get back to the match, Mascherato decided to try and dance with April at ringside. And what does she do? Slams him right into the ring apron head first. And don't forget, April had been training with Killer Kowalski.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we talked about she and Wagner Brown took over as trainers after Mike Hollow defected and came over to the dark side.
I go back again with April. So stupid. One of our biggest early errors. Her and the Brawler were the two dumb things. We did.
The specialty of adult, we got an abdominal stretch here, the Cobra Twist, if you will.
I think, Rich, it's kind of funny that you put over, you know, from the hard cam. Wow, pretty decent crowd. I don't know if you noticed that when they went to the shot of April working outside the ring. Yes, it is a great card, great house, facing the hard cam. If you look, the two sides are empty, or at least the side on the right, it's completely empty. And that was the other thing we used to do, is when we had TV, we'd move people. So that facing hard cam. And Rich, I know we've talked a lot about the CTC. Yeah. Again, something else we taught at our school.
How to play to the hard cam.
We would teach guys that a lot of times, and I think up until kind of the end of my run in Chaotic, if you noticed, guys would rarely cut promos to the crowd. Guys would always cut promos to the hard cam.
Mm-hmm.
Only because even though we didn't have TV for however long, and Lord knows we were slow on releasing DVDs, the big thing is we would always want to teach guys to be ready for when they got the call to something bigger. And what a huge part of that was, you don't talk to the crowd, you talk to the hard cam.
Right.
You let the TV see your face.
Right. Well, the end of the story was April set up the distraction. She kissed Mascherato on the top of the head. Oh, and look at that on the screen right now. Hold on. Let's pause it because I want to finish my last thought. Mascherato distracted by April Kincaid on the apron. She kissed him on the top of the mask as if she was flirting with him.
Yep.
Then she crouched down to a lower position. Insert your thought here. Ended up driving the shoulder into the midsection, which fed right into Arch for the 1-2-3. So now Arch is victorious. And now we go to a nice little interview segment. And the man we just talked about, long before dancing, we got Outlaw Duke Dalton. That's a duster.
Wow.
And of course he has Brittany Summer by his side. And then we hear the voice of Tom O'Gara, because now this is where we talk about what's coming up next.
Yeah, so just like on Friday Night Chaos, they threw it to a commercial, Rich. What I'll do is I'll throw it to a little break for us. We'll take a deep breath, because I got to tell you, this is something.
I'm digging this.
This history is interesting.
We're onto something.
You know, anytime I can see Arch Kincaid and Skunk O'Malley in opening segment, I know it's going to be a good night. So we're going to be back with the second part of our episode of Friday Night Chaos from 2001. When we come back on Let the Chaos Begin, right here on the NAI Pop Network.
You hear about Chaotic Wrestling's past on Let the Chaos Begin, but if you want to see its present and future, then go to Chaotic Wrestling Live. You can see all the Chaotic Wrestling action live and in person across New England. Go to chaoticwrestling.com/tickets to see the current schedule of shows and to purchase tickets. It's all the action of Chaotic Wrestling live at chaoticwrestling.com. My name is Jason Malta.
I am Liam Strager.
And I'm Bill Neville.
And live every Wednesday night on NewAgeInsiders.com and the Mixler app, we're taking topics and thousands of fan perspectives and bringing them to your airwaves.
And don't forget, we'll be live and taking your calls before and after every single WWE pay-per-view that we do not attend.
But wait, there's more. You can also subscribe to our Patreon page by visiting patreon.com and searching for New Age Insiders. And with plans starting at just $2 a month, there's an affordable option for everyone.
Monday rewards, Tuesday rewards, exclusive pay-per-view rewards, exclusive shows. Why wouldn't you become a Patreon? And we will see you Wednesday night at 8 o'clock. We out.
Well, we are back, ladies and gentlemen, here on the Let the Chaos Begin podcast. Rich Palladino and Jamie J. Mikowski. And during the break, Jamie and I watched the next segment of the June 29th, 2001 edition of Friday Night Chaos. Jamie, what the hell did we just see? I mean, we just saw At Home with the Kincaids, and we just saw Arch and his, quote, sister, April Kincaid, in some very suggestive dialogue and scenes. Now, hold on. No blood, no cursing, stay off the guardrails, but implied incestual situations on television are okay.
I don't even know if that was implied by the end. Okay, Rich, on our podcast, I spend a lot of time defending positions I took in the past, arguing my point of view of certain things. I might need to consult with my counsel before I can even discuss this section. Wow, was that rough. So what it was, though, Rich, was back then, vignettes were starting to become cool in wrestling, you know, cutaways. Oh, you and I can go back a little bit further. Like, I still remember growing up the ones I always remember. Remember the Flair Savage feud leading up to Mania 8? She was mine before she was yours. Mm-hmm. And they would do a lot of stuff like not in the ring, like at Flair's house in the pictures.
Yeah.
That's kind of what we were going for on this. And we were building Arch Kincaid as a character who was, in hindsight, without the incestuous sister, he was kind of me. Pompous, an a-hole, Rich, and we were going to take a trip to Pelican Crossing to the Kincaid compound where he and April were living. So we needed a house that looked like it. I was living in an apartment in Boston. Randy's house didn't really work. So I went to a coworker of mine, Nancy Cosimini, who she was actually one of the early episodes of For the Pops with Slade and I. Nancy and I worked at Undercover together. Nancy is, she and her husband are both 100% Italian, and they built a big home outside of Worcester, which is a typical New England Italian's home. You could see their decorations on it, Rich. It's just the dark wood, the big dining room, the sconces on the wall, the red wallpaper and paint. So Nancy's house was perfect. So I think it's, hey, can we come out there? So we go traipsing out there. It was me, Randy, Milo, Tomo, plus Arch, April, and Skunk O'Malley. And the first thing we do is they have these big regal doors. And I remember this, like, as soon as it started playing, I'm like, oh my God, I remember this. And the lines were from Arch and April, welcome to the Kincaid compound. And then April was supposed to say, please make yourself right at home. That was the line. I've never seen two people so awkward and stiff. For two people who had such charisma in the ring, turn on the camera and make them talk. And everything was so stiff and forced. This reminds me of like a bad Saturday Night Live episode. And Arch's music was Smooth Summer by Bananarama.
Cruel Summer.
Cruel Summer, thank you.
Yes.
And there was this little opening part, like these little six notes, that we now just keep repeating for the entire 7 minutes of the segment. This is like Chinese water torture. So our goal was we wanted to create characters in Chaotic Wrestling. So one of the things we did was we wanted to start shooting these little vignettes to show the characters behind the people. Now, the funny part is the first real scene we go to is they're in the living room where we have the which title is that, Rich?
The Chaotic Wrestling Light Heavyweight Championship.
Now, tell people what that championship was, how it started and what it morphed into.
It was the, well, it was the television championship. No.
We had a TV champ and we had a light heavyweight champ. We combined those to become the New England championship down the road.
Yes.
But the funny part was, if you remember, Rich, the TV championship and the light heavyweight championship, it was the same belt.
Yes.
So we couldn't have them wrestle each other because what we had to do was the belt could only be out there one time. So the first thing we do is, you know, we go to their living room where the whole ha-ha is, oh, they've put the belt over the mantle.
So over the mantle and next to Aunt Agnes's ashes, which are in an urn.
What kind of urn? Did you catch that?
Of a thing that I'll never be able to remember.
It was a Zenithian urn. Do you know where that came from?
Didn't we have a wrestler named Zenith?
Zenith. And he was from Australia or New Zealand. I think it was from Australia. And what happened was his visa was up and he had just left. So that was a little shout out. There are a number of little shout outs in this. But that was our shout out to Zenith.
Yes.
Who had just left, that it was a Zenithian urn.
Mike Lee, I believe, was his name.
Yep.
Yes.
Zenith Mike Lee. And that was a tribute to him because to us, he was dead.
Yes. So we had a Zenithian urn that contained the ashes of Aunt Agnes Kincaid.
But now remember, Rich, we got to remember. So there's a belt over the mantle, the Zenithian urn, all the pictures of Arch.
On the mantle.
We've done this to somebody's house.
Yes. We took down the picture
of their 8-year-old daughter from the mantle, and we hung our New England belt. We took down their family pictures, and we taped on the front pictures of Arch and April so we could have those on the mantle so this could be the Kincaid compound. And I wish I could say, for those of you listening, that this is going to get better. no, this gets significantly worse the more we talk about this segment.
And Arch and April have, Arch has said, my light heavyweight title. She has said, our light heavyweight title. And he says, enough of that. It's time for fine dining. We cut to
I want to say, Rich, our plan on this was, if I go way, way back, our plan was eventually, because it was a light heavyweight championship, we were going to split them. April was going to beat Arch for the championship. She was going to be the light heavyweight champion. Going back to my thing of, we were stupid to let April go. I think that, as dumb as it sounds, in 2001, that probably would have been money and asses and seats had we gone that way.
Now, so, we've cut to the kitchen.
Because they have a chef.
It's time for fine dining, and the chef is Skunk O'Malley, and he's cooking a lobster. Now, Skunk had worked, I guess, for Lobster Man Jeff Costa's promotion.
He was employed. How's that?
He was employed by Jeff Costa's All-Star Wrestling in New Hampshire. He's cooking the lobster. He's mocking the lobster. He takes the lobster, puts it on the granite countertop, and goes, 1, 2, 3, I pinned the lobster. Get back in the pot.
Yep, that was our next latest shot of we were just taking pot shots at people now.
Yes.
You know, we were basically insulting Lobster Man. You know, this segment goes on and on. You know, now they eat dinner and Skunk screws up the dinner again.
Yes, it's time for fine dining.
Constantly putting over.
But now Arch is he's holding the chair for his sister to sit down as if you would, you know, you take your wife out for a nice dinner, you know?
But the best part is, we said to April, we're like, okay, we want you to look rich and classy. And Arch is in a sport coat and slacks. April wears like a skin-tight denim miniskirt. And a shirt cut down to her very
ample
cleavage. But end of this part of the story is Skunk screws up dinner, they get upset, blah, blah, blah.
Yes.
Which really takes us, Rich, to the part that jumped right out at us.
Yes.
Now, April decides that after a meal like this, the best thing she could do is take a nice, relaxing bath.
Time for a bubble bath.
So now we do all these shots of, I remember Tom will get these shots of the tub filling up and the bubbles going in. There's a rubber ducky behind the faucet. There's another picture of April.
Of course.
Because what kind of a friend would I be if I didn't go to my friend's house and replace her pictures with a nude model who was clothed in the pictures. But now we cut to the bedroom where April's getting ready for the bath. And I'm like, oh, we should have her hold up lingerie. What we were trying to tease here, Rich, was we wanted to think we were going to show April naked or partially naked on WNDS.
Right.
So we did a terrible job of teasing it. But we have her hold up this piece of lingerie that she's going to put it on. And then we kind of show her half naked pulling her robe up where her back is the camera. But now I need everybody to keep in mind what I had to do here. We're making this up as we go. I have to go to my friend Nancy. Hey, can we borrow some of your lingerie? And can we borrow a robe? Now, again, Nancy and I, we worked at a lingerie company together, so she had some on hand. But I'm basically turning to this woman who has, at the time, probably an 8-9-year-old daughter. Her husband, Al, who I'm still convinced, I've known Al and Nancy for years. This was probably the happiest night of Al's life when I brought April into his house, who's disrobing and getting ready to go into a bath and all this stuff. But I'm literally borrowing. I'm taking my coworker's pictures off her wall. I have this idiot Skunk wandering around her million-dollar home. I've got a half-naked April Hunter in her bedroom, holding her lingerie and putting on her bathrobe. And then it's time for April to get into the tub, Rich.
And you worked in a lingerie company. You couldn't just bring a piece of lingerie. No, you had to ask your friend for one of hers.
Remember, it wasn't like, dude, we weren't scripting this out ahead of time. We're calling this on the fly. We're calling it in the ring.
I was just going to say,
you know what would be great? Let's get April naked. We need lingerie. Nancy, can we borrow a peignoir set?
And here we are in the bathroom, and April's ready to take off the robe, and she looks down, and Arch is in the tub, and she says, hey, I was supposed to go first. And he says, there's room. What does he say? There's room for...
It's one of the most immortal lines that came crashing back to me. There's always room for one more. Rub-a-dub-dub. And I will never forget us laughing our asses off like morons about the line, there's always room for one more. Rub-a-dub-dub. Now, Rich, if I wasn't feeling bad enough about this whole thing. No, to be fair, April does act like it's gross that her brother wants her to get in the tub, and she storms out of the bathroom. So the next thing we do is we show April getting into, oh God, this is so bad, getting into what's assumably her bed.
Yes.
Right? I'm sorry, no, it's actually Arch.
Arch is actually going into, there's a poster of Britney Spears on the wall, which of course belongs to your friend's 8 or 9 year old daughter.
Because we're not being creepy enough of this
whole
thing.
There's a dollhouse right there.
Now we're actually going to now use the room of Alessandra, their 9 year old daughter. Because why wouldn't we just be completely sketchy at this point? So Art's going to bed. He says goodnight to the Britney poster. And then as he's about to get into bed.
He's shirtless, by the way.
Of course he is. He's wearing flannel pants. April's wearing this short little flannel nightie.
And she comes in, pillow fight, and now it's on. The pillow fight is on. She apparently gets hit with the zipper of the pillow in the eye, calls for a timeout, and
Rich,
takes a cheap shot.
I love that you're doing play-by-play on this awfulness.
Yes.
But again, they're both half-naked, rolling around in a bedroom. And again, it's the bedroom of a legit 9-year-old girl that we're shooting this in.
Yes.
And then she pins him and claims that she is now the rightful owner of the light heavyweight title.
Yes. And
but
now we go
now
to
Rich,
commercial.
So pause. I need to give context on this.
Oh my goodness.
This was when we didn't have an identity yet as a company.
Than a year in business.
If I have to say the good and the bad, I think it's really interesting that what we were doing was we were trying to create characters. I still believe characters are where this business is.
Mm-hmm.
Even today, you know, Tommaso Ciampa with his great success right now, even though it's not overt, he's not Duke the Dumpster Drozzi, he's still portraying a character when he's out there, whether it's overt or subtle. I think we were on the right track. This might have been a little bit over the top. Mm. At this point in time, you're talking about the Attitude Era, right?
Yes.
So vignettes like this were what they were doing. This was the whole famous choppy choppy pee pee stuff in WWE. So that's what we were trying to emulate.
Mm-hmm.
And looking back, did we do a good job at it? I can't say it's great. Was it better and different than anything anybody else was putting out there? Absolutely.
Without a doubt.
It's not just a single cam on public access in a dark room.
Right.
Just showing a match.
Yep.
With announcers yelling so the camera can hear them.
Right, with no story behind it. At least, you know, we're, like you said, we're creating characters. You know, there's a story behind what we're doing, but we are promoting incest. But anyways, we've left the Kincaid compound, and I think with that, before we go to the main event of the show, big tag team action.
Oh, there's more?
There's more.
Oh, boy.
And I want to add, this is only a 30-minute show. We're giving them two matches and a segment. We're going to, I think we're going to pause right here.
I'm going to find your beer fridge because I don't think I can do another segment without some.
I'm going to run down to my church, St. Mary's Parish, and say a quick prayer for myself for watching this.
Yeah, I need forgiveness after that last segment.
I have children now, for God's sakes. We'll be back with more. Let the chaos begin.
You know the New Age Insiders Wrestling Show is the premier place for wrestling fans to connect, discuss, and to be heard.
But what if we told you that there's also a show for fans of all kinds to do the same?
That show is Late Night Liam, show hosted by myself, Liam Stryker.
And me, Bill Neville. Join us immediately following NAIPod every Wednesday as we dive into pop culture, sports, current events, and more.
Can't listen live? No worries. Late Night Liam can be downloaded on demand exclusively on the NAI Network channel. Available on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, and all podcast platforms.
Once again, join Late Night Liam live every Wednesday following NAI Pod.
When you and fans of all kinds can connect, discuss, and be heard.
Are you a wrestling fan, but you've always wanted to get in the ring? Do you want to follow in the footsteps of superstars like Donovan Dijak and Flip Gordon? Then check out the New England Pro Wrestling Academy. At the NEPWA, you can live your wrestling dreams and train at the best pro wrestling school in the Northeast. Check out neprowrestling.com for information on joining and about their upcoming fantasy camp. It's neprowrestling.com. Start your pro wrestling dreams today.
All right, we are back. You are listening to Let the Chaos Begin right here on the NAI Pop Network. I'm Jamie McCuskey. Rich, still recovering from that last section. I feel like I need to send out notes of apology to a certain 8-year-old girl who's now probably 20-something for letting all that happen in her room and to Nancy for letting us do that in her house. And what I find interesting, Rich, as we kind of start the tape up again in the background, literally start the tape. As we head into our main event on this show, it's Gino Martino and Short Sleeve Samson tagging against the One Night Stand.
Yes.
Right? And if we're talking about the era in the time of Chaotic Wrestling, I think what's interesting is this episode, it's really painting that picture of the transition the company was going through. Because in the first section, you have Arch and April Kincaid. You have that character stuff and that fun stuff we're trying to do with them. And then now we're cutting to the original group, which is the One Night Stand, Gino, and Short Sleeve.
Four contracts right there.
Right, yeah. So you're really starting to see, here's some of the original Chaotic Wrestling stuff, but we're trying to transition to something new, and I still don't think the company had really found its footing yet. Boy, you want to talk about just an episode of corporate errors we made. You know, the two of the bigger early ones are here. It's, like I said, April Hunter, whom we ended up not using going forward, and then the One Night Stand that, again, we spoke on a previous episode about how Randy ran them out of the company.
Ronnie Delicious
as well.
And Edward G. Ecstasy is the Andy that we refer to. This is, and we should add, this match is for the Chaotic Wrestling Tag Team Championship. This was the pre-Aaron Stevens days, so you've got Ronnie Delicious, you've got Edward G. Ecstasy, and Master Sandy, who, by the way, and I think you may have, you mentioned this on a prior episode, she has found both of us on, so she obviously heard the podcast.
Yes.
And has found us both on social media, so we have reconnected with Sandy.
Yeah.
So we are just bringing just great things to all chapters of our lives here. We're reconnecting with old friends. We're giving the fans a little peek behind the curtain. Speaking of peek behind the curtain, we talked in a prior episode, the big unveil that the Annihilators, Seek and Destroy, were Duke Dalton and Coach Mike Hollow. Little known fact, in between the matches, we had an ad for our next show. The voice of the upcoming shows was Tom O'Gara himself. And ironically enough, the next show that we were promoting was on Friday the 13th, and Tom O was all like, leave your bad luck at the door and join us in Lawrence.
Yeah, it was like a porn promo.
Yeah, he sounded like he definitely pictured a creepy mustache and a Marlboro cigarette.
But, Rich, I want to touch on this as this match goes. You know, we're not going to comment on the match because nobody can see it. But what's funny is I remembered when Tom O promoted that next show. In Methuen on Friday the 13th was the next show that was coming up, correct? Yes. Is that what he said?
Yes.
What's interesting is that whole Arch Kincaid El Mascarado, that was a little mini angle we did where they came back. I remember on the next show in Methuen, Arch Kincaid got in the ring, got a mic, and said, oh, I'm here to face El Mascarado. Well, let me tell you something, Noberto Santano. And used his real name. Mm-hmm. Mascarado was legit furious with Arch Kincaid to the point where I remember in the back, we had to separate them because he was so angry. And Randy had to go do damage control with El Mascarado because Arch had broken some cardinal wrestling rule by using his real name.
You know, because of the sacred mask and whatnot. So we had never had Bert Centeno on a show before. We only had him as El Mascarado. So that was pretty much like, I think in Bert's mind, that was the equivalent of the disgrace of a Mexican luchador being unmasked during a match. The mask is a sacred thing in Mexico. Apparently the same applies in Puerto Rico. And Bert is very old school. And he's protecting his gimmick.
I just remember looking back now. You had Randy with Bert, you know, calming him down. I was with Arch in the other room. Yeah, pause, because there are a couple of things I saw just go by that I want to talk about. But I remember, so you have me and Arch, and Arch and I are staring at each other. Because, again, we weren't from the whole wrestling history thing. Arch and I were like, what the hell's the big deal? It was a promo. But, yeah, I remember that. But I remember how heated he was. Rich, something just happened in the ring that you know what I hate more than anything? And they just did it in this match, and I see it all the time now. Do you know what I hate?
What do you hate?
I hate the shove spot with a ref.
Oh, that's why we said don't bury the refs.
I hate it when, if anybody touches a ref, it should be an instant disqualification. Yep. What I hate even more, though, is when a ref pushes a wrestler and a wrestler bumps off of that. That drives me absolutely nuts. There is no way in the world, in a little fake professional wrestling world, that a ref should ever be able to push a wrestler. Because Ronnie pushes the ref, who is, again, Skunk O'Malley.
Yes.
Who's smaller than he is.
Yep.
Skunk doesn't move when one of the biggest guys in our company, a tag team champion, pushes him. Doesn't disqualify him. He pushes him back. Ronnie back bumps. Horrible. That makes me so angry.
I understand. Don't say fake. Don't say fake.
So angry.
My goodness.
I hate that.
So what now, just to go back to the match, that did set up the distraction for Sandy to lure Shortsleeve out. Shortsleeve pulls her by the ponytail. And as I've paused the screen right here,
yes,
look at that. Who is giving Shortsleeve Samson the stink nose but our dearly departed? That's Mucko right
Mucko,
there.
I'm pretty sure we didn't get the camera angle. I also think Todd Sinclair might be in the front row as a fan.
He may be. I saw Mike Jess.
Mike Jess, Mucko, and Todd Fatpants Sinclair are probably the three fans in the front row.
And they were unmerciless when Shortsleeve came terrible. Out. Because Shortsleeve would come out, and he actually had the gift of being able to actually rap.
He had a rap.
And he would come out, and you know, when the sleeves come off, you're going to get tossed or something. And Danny would come out and do his whole rap, and... When I say short sleeve, he would say, when I say short sleeve, you say Samson. And Mucko, Pants, and Mike Jess would go, when I say short sleeve, you say stink nose.
Oh, is that what they would do? Because I knew it was something.
They would hold their fingers over their nose, as we're seeing right there. That is definitely our good friend Mucko. Big ups to Mucko. As he's given the stink nose. Yep, and I see another hand giving a stink nose.
That's
that has to be Pants.
But again, Rich, so much of this match is dated now.
Huh.
You know, I know that it's a hot thing on the indies now to have intergender wrestling for a while. You know, WWE, I don't think you'll ever see them do it again.
No, they are.
Are they?
They're doing another mixed match.
That's different. It's women have to wrestle women, men have to wrestle men.
Well, I work for a company that does intergender, and it's a thing now.
You can get me going on another day. I don't think it makes any sense.
All right, so did you watch All In?
No.
You did not watch All In?
No, I was traveling.
You didn't even watch the pre-show?
No, I was
so
traveling.
So during the All In Battle Royal, the over-budget Battle Royal, it came down, there was one spot where it came down to Brian Cage and a good friend of mine, Jordan Grace, who is an amazing female athlete, one of the best in the business right now. And 11,000 people were going crazy as she and Brian Cage were going back and forth. And then she even had a sequence with Bully Ray. But I will always argue the
intergender
thing.
The only way it can work is if you always put the female over now. And I'm sorry, and Lord knows I'm not going to get political. I think that in this era of hashtag Me Too, I don't know how you can be doing intergender matches. It's not going to read well. It doesn't play well. But back then, you know, here we have a female involved in the match, and then you have a jacked up female beating up a little person. There's so much in this match that doesn't age well. You know, and I think, Rich, I kind of overheard you on commentary that this all started because Edward G. gave Shortsleeve a pile driver.
Yes.
And now we just gave him a suplex. So now we have this big,
burly,
gassed up, burly guy giving a little person suplexes. So much of this doesn't age well.
Well.
You know, it's just funny the stuff that back then that was appropriate and acceptable that isn't now. You know, if this match ever happened in my last 5 years of chaotic wrestling, you would probably be able to see the aneurysm going through my head between, you know, it was something subtle. When Gino first came out, he grabbed and turned the cameraman and started spouting something to the cameraman that I'm sure wasn't booked. Right. That was Gino doing extra. You know, I remember there was a match in Lowell back then where Gino, I forget who he beat, but Gino was a big baby face. He had just beaten Tony Omega, as a matter of fact. He was a big babyface, beat Tony Omega. Louis Ortiz was our babyface champion. Gino grabs the house mic and says, "Louis Ortiz, come out and play AA." And that was Gino just going off script, going off book. It's like, you can't do that. And I know he did it at the start of this one. You know, then plus you got us, they're beating up a little person. This match, I can't even describe it. It's all over the road. I don't even understand why this is happening.
And Shortsleeve just spanked Master Sandy on the backside.
He's spanking Master Sandy. This I don't understand any of this.
Who's booking at this time?
Randy. This is still Randy. This is all Randy.
Well, we are...
Sandy just chased... Sandy just taped short sleeve out, and Rick Fuller's hit the ring.
Fuller moves Edward G. out of the way, and choke slams Gino off the middle rope, down to the canvas. Edward G. hooks the leg. Skunks right there. 1, 2, 3. Because at this point, Rick Fuller was our heavyweight champion.
Sure.
And he and Gino were feuding.
We're feuding.
Over the title. So the one night stand has retained. And so let's recap. Arch Kincaid retained the light heavyweight title over El Mascarado.
Yep. We had the creepiest vignette in history.
We had Arch and April Kincaid with the implied incest. And now we've had the tech. And there's Scarecrow. Is complete.
The big takeaways from this are, Rich, is the one face that kind of comes out at the end is Rick Fuller.
Yeah.
Rick Fuller of that group, he was kind of the pre-Kowalski group. He came in to feud with Gino, and Rick had a nice long run with Chaotic Wrestling. Rick, again, I can't talk about that match anymore, but I'm glad we got to see Rick Fuller, and I really hope we get to do a show about Rick, or we could even get Rick to come on, because Rick was probably one of the most professional guys we got to work with.
Oh, my God.
You know, when you talk about, you hear about WWE, how they have the Undertaker in the locker room. Rick was really our Undertaker. He was kind of that locker room veteran. He was big. He was certainly scary. Rick scared the hell out of me at times.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the nicest, most soft-spoken guys. And I think with some of the flash and dazzle and reputation of some of the other people who've come through Chaotic Wrestling, I actually think Rick kind of gets the short shaft a little bit on that. Because his contributions to that company and to Chaotic Wrestling in general over the years were more than so many other people's. It was just quieter. It was a little bit more under the radar.
Yeah.
But Rick was a cornerstone of Chaotic. You know, if you go back here where he was a heavyweight champion feuding with Gino, you go to Cold Fury 8 where it was him, Alex Arian, and Chase Del Monte in the mix for the heavyweight championship. You're talking 6 years later there.
Mm-hmm.
But then you've got his whole thing with Fred Sampson, Johnny Fabulous.
Yeah.
Their feud with the Blow Up Boys is still my all-time favorite feud in Chaotic Wrestling. You know, Rick Fuller, he was a cornerstone of the homecoming show.
Oh, without a doubt.
With John Cena. He was the babyface in that whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So again, that's what I like to think about, you know, for all the bad that we just witnessed, and Lord knows there was a lot of it. What's cool is like the little nuggets you're able to take out. And I talked about it. It's seeing Tomo and his whole crew there, remembering, wow, I forgot what it was that they brought to the table at that era of Chaotic Wrestling. It's seeing the Kowalski guys with the vignettes to start the show, but then so the original Chaotic guys to kind of wrap it up. It really shows at this point in time how we were at a crossroads for the company. And then finally, the coolest part was seeing Rick Fuller at the end. Because again, I think Rick Fuller probably deserves a hell of a lot more credit than he really gets in the history of Chaotic Wrestling.
And he was something special and still is. Dear friend of mine, fellow KISS fan. He and I went to go see Ace Frehley together a couple years ago in Providence. But yeah, all our best. And be great to connect with Rick Fuller. He's very soft-spoken, though. I don't think he's going to want to talk. He didn't like talking in promos, in the ring, nothing. We are just wrapping up the show.
We ended with a blooper. We ended with a blooper reel from the Kincaid
compound.
We
did that from time to time. Yeah. So I think this was
this was fun. This was different.
Pretty cool thing. I'll burn this onto a disc, and possibly we get this up on the YouTubes.
Yeah, we'll go to somebody who's much more technologically advanced than we are. We'll get this up on the interweb.
On the interweb.
So people can actually enjoy this as much as we did.
This has been fun, and we had some beer. So, from the Shrine, a.k.a. my basement, I am Rich Palladino. He is Jamie J. Mikowski. Send us your feedback, Facebook, Twitter, on the NAI Pop Network. Let us know, what did you think of this episode? Do you want to hear more of these? Because we certainly enjoy doing them. So that's it. We'll see you guys soon. And thanks again for listening to Let the Chaos Begin.